All right, Roy Matlock Jr. here, and we are going to be talking today, as we always do, about the two things that always are problematic for people when they are trying to get financial independent, and that is the income and the outgo. And today we are going to talk about knowledge versus fear, because you know, I listen to talk radio, I listen to all types of podcasts, and you know, it's just amazing to me the amount of fear that is being put out, you know, about things that just really just shouldn't be that way. And so today we're going to get knowledge on our side. And then that way, when you go out and you start talking to people, if you're trying to meet with someone and you're trying to get, you know, your finances in order and all that kind of thing, you're not going to buy into all of this baloney that seems to be out there. And it seems to be out there all the time. It just amazes me. I'm driving down the road, and I'm like, no, don't. What? Why do they do that? I guess if you scare somebody enough, they may, you know, do business with you or something. I don't know, but I don't ever work that way. I've always been, you know, let's get people educated on the money. So let me give you some things I heard. Well, what are you going to do if the market drops 40%? Doesn't it make sense to have guaranteed income? What about a pension? You need to have your own pension. You're going to lose $100,000 if you make the wrong decision on Social Security. And what about taxes? I mean, your taxes are going to go up when you retire and all these different kinds of things. And, you know, why now the market's at an all-time high, you know, and why you should be fearful of all those kind of things. And it just never changes. And I hear that, but I hear it more today than I ever heard. Here's a news article. It says, working Americans doubt durability of retirement income, growing body of research finds. Now, it just happens to be that body of research is insurance companies wanting to sell annuities, all right, that does that. Now, are annuities bad? Now, I'm not saying they're bad, but they're not the answer that a lot of people want to make it. But here's what it says. Most Americans don't believe their savings and sources of income will last throughout their retirement throughout their retirement, according to the latest survey to assess retirement readiness and confidence. It's in Barron's, it's a report in Barron's. And so why is all of this stuff, you know, it's got some truth to it, but it's, why is it that people live their life in fear? Or the reason they live their life in fear is that they don't have knowledge. And so today we're going to talk about knowledge. We're going to get some stats. We're going to talk about how, you know, my first part is going to kind of get you started a little bit on getting the knowledge. Number two, we're going to go in and talk about, you know, retirement planning goals, how to get a plan in place, what's the schedule, and understanding withdrawal numbers, what happens when you withdraw money. We're going to do that. We're going to get into the third section is we're going to create the taxation plan, the asset allocation plan, you know, what to do with your 401k, those kind of things, your withdrawal plans. And then lastly, we're going to cover all of the different potential options that you might end up having. So today's going to be a good show. If you're out there at or near retirement, you need to pay close attention. 866-651-4848 or RoyMatlockJr.com. That's 866-651-4848. You can call in with your questions. You can request information. If you want to have any of our budget forms or downloads that are available, you can call that number or you can visit RoyMatlockJr.com. I want to encourage you to look at the June 2nd podcast, which is there, and register for the podcast. My June 2nd podcast addresses a lot of things about diversification and discipline and all those kind of things that go along with it. You know, I started doing this in 1983, and in 1987, I had just gotten really more engaged in the investment business. And the first thing I did was, you know, talk to my family and got them set up into mutual funds and stuff like that. And I'll never forget one day, back in the days when you could put $2,000 in a retirement plan, in an IRA, and I went to my brother-in-law, and he said, you know, it's about my luck if I put this money in. Luck, that's what people think, and he thought that, about my luck if I put this money in the market, this is back in the early days when people didn't really understand mutual funds or anything like that, the stock market would crash. And lo and behold, guess what happened in 1987, October 19th? We had just put that money in, and October 19th, 22% drop. One day, biggest one-time drop in history, 1987, 22% drop, and it dropped from 2,300. It dropped over 500 points. The Dow was at 2,300. And so took 2 years for people to recover, to get back in there. Now, keep in mind, anybody that was investing on a monthly basis, which is one of the key elements, is to pay yourself first and to always have something going in. That's why 401ks make a lot of sense. You know, it's automatically drafted into your checking account, things like that. But the bottom line is that was that 2,300 was a 500-point drop, and today's over 26,000. And so I think if you follow the rules, okay, of getting diversified, having discipline, and doing dollar cost averaging, three D's, that's how you accumulate money. You start building a system and putting a system in place to be able to do that. Now, here's one of the problems. I did read this this Alliance for Lifetime Income. I read that, and when I read it, one of the things, this whole report, it had a lot of things in there that I thought were decent. Some were not that good. Some were good. But one thing that I do agree with is this. 8 out of 10 people do not have a specific financial plan they follow. How about that? 8 out of 10 do not have a specific plan they follow among non-retired people. Now, once you retire, it's too late, okay, to make changes that are going to have a lot of lasting impact. They're going to through your retirement. But what you have to do is you got to plan in advance. 25% of the people surveyed have no plan of any kind. They have nothing. They're just kind of floating along, thinking it's going to be okay. 35% have actually set some goals. So they set goals have a direction in mind, but not a well-developed plan. You know, I started in business, you know, many, many years ago, and in the early 90s, I hired a business consultant, consulting firm, and the first thing they did is they said, do you have a plan for this? Do you have a plan for this? And they said, note, if it's not written, it's not a plan. It's just something in your head. So one of the things it talked about was documenting a well-developed plan. So 20% have a general financial plan, but it doesn't go far enough. And another 20% have a specific plan that they follow, a plan of action that makes it happen. So you wake up every day, say, this is going here, this is going here, that kind of thing. And so what we're going to do today is work on the plan. We're going to get rid of the fear. Yes, the market has dropped 40% before, but if you're at retirement, you probably shouldn't be in the market. You know, you have to be some in the market. But we have things we have to know about on that. So you have an asset allocation plan developed based on your personal risk tolerance. I was told or heard today about risk tolerance. Okay, that's the thing that financial guys ask to get them off the hook. And that's, and I just sit there, I'm like, what is going on here? Now, risk tolerance is one of the keys to you staying in an investment. And if you, most of the time, if you get diversified, it's pretty simple. If you stay long-term, you end up doing well if you're diversified because you got a little bit of everything, but you got to have the risk tolerance in line with you, because one of the number one things that happens is when the market goes down, people panic. What do? They panic, panic, panic. They worry. And for some reason, they are ready to keep it in the market when it's up. But, man, they want to get out of the market when it goes down. When is the fact of the matter is, when it goes down, that's when you need to be in the market. Okay? So that way you can continue. What about guaranteed income? I agree. You need some income guarantees. What would that amount to? I don't know. You can, depending on who you are and your situation, 30% of your money might go into something that gives you some type of guarantee. Understand, in most cases, guaranteed lifetime income does not mean guaranteed to keep up with inflation income. So what happens is we have, you can get. You've heard about all the different annuities where they give you a guaranteed lifetime income. That's true, but it usually is not a guaranteed lifetime income that updates with inflation. So you don't want to have all your money tied into something where the next thing you know, you're running out of money. You've got money coming in, but it doesn't buy anything. Pensions, create your own pension. That sounds great. That's another word for, buying annuities. So anyway, I'm not anti-annuities. What I am, though, is wanting to get the information out where you understand it. What about your Social Security choices? Well, those choices in Social Security usually are pretty simple. If you take it early and you still have income coming in, you're going to get penalized. That's not a good plan. But if you're in poor health and you're not working, you might go ahead and take it. The interesting thing about it is Social Security, on the Social Security Department website, it says it does not matter when you take it. The payout ends up the same. Now, how does that work? Well, if you take it at, say, 62, you're going to get less, but the mindset is for longer. If you take it at 66, you're going to get more than the 62, but for less time. If you wait till you're 70, the biggest payout, yes, but you're going to get it for less time. So if you said to yourself, well, I'm going to be not, I think I'll make it to 85. If I'm going to make it to 85, what are we going to do? Well, when do I start it? All right. Well, it really depends, and we'll go through all that kind of stuff. So, hey, with that, if you have a question or you'd like answered, 866-651-4848, or visit roymatlockjr.com, do a little download. We're going to go into Section 2 in just a second on the goal, the plan, the schedule. We'll be right back. All right, Roy Matlock Jr. here at the second segment of our show today, and that's going to be developing some good educational programs to be able to learn what's going on. See, I believe this, knowledge is power. I know you know that, but sometimes we forget about that. With our money, it makes, it changes everything with your life if you're knowledgeable. And so I had said this earlier, and I want to just talk to you about this. Go to my June 2nd podcast. I think it'll give you some of the best advice on what you should be thinking about just from an investment standpoint when you're trying to figure out, how to stay on track and stuff like that. When I sit down with someone, one of the things that I try to do is project out a goal. I say, now, what's your goal? If you were going to quit one day, how much money would you want to have coming in if you're going to quit do-nothing money? And I call do-nothing money the kind of money that shows up if you do nothing. It just goes into your checking account on an automatic basis. You live off of that, and it's coming in. It's consistent do-nothing money. And so what we want to do is create our plan to get some do-nothing money. So the first thing I would do is I would look and say to myself, now, if I'm, at retirement or going to retire one day, right now, if I quit, what would I want per month on a regular monthly basis that would keep up with inflation? So over a 20-year period, it maybe doubles, all right, or at least is up, 50-75% to keep you up with inflation. How much money would I want per month? All right, so then I take that number and I multiply it times 12, and I get an annual basis of what I want. So let's just say you decide you're out there, you're both working, you've been doing pretty good, you're making $120,000 a year, and the interesting thing that I always hear from people, well, it'll be less money when, just forget that. Let's just say that your goal was 10 grand a month, and that's what you want to retire on. So then what you would do is you would go in and say, okay, what are my income sources to be able to generate 10 grand a month? Now, if you're both working and you've both been making, 5 or 6,000 a month each, husband, wife, something like that, your Social Security benefit, it might be $1,700, something like that. You can go look on your Social Security sheet. You can actually go to the Social Security Department, request it, and say, okay, based on where I'm at, what's it look like? It tells me that I think I'm going to get like $3,000 when I'm 70. Well, I'm 58, so they're going to give me $3,000 when I'm 70. So you go and you look at that and you say, well, 3,000 or whatever the number is, 4,000, and you want 10,000. Then you look at it and you say, well, I'm short 6,000 a month. So I'm going to take that $6,000, I'm going to multiply it out. That's about $70,000. So I need $70,000 a year. The rule of thumb is 20 times that. So let's take 20 times 70. That's $1,400,000. That would be at 5%. That would give you $70,000 a year. You then take and you say, well, I've got this much so far. I've got 10 years to retire. I've got this much at this point. If I get a reasonable rate of return, you know, 7, 8%, something like that, and I put that money to work 10 years from now at 7%, the rule of 72 says your money will double in 10 years if you get 7%. Any interest rate into the number 72, you can do it in your head. All right, so that's one way you look at it. Or you go right on and pull up a compound interest calculator. You can get that on the internet. You know, I've got one on my phone where I can go in there and I can calculate. I put in the return. I put in the amount of money I got, and I set a future goal of $1.4 million. I've got $500,000 saved right now. That $500,000 10 years from now is a million. I'm short $400,000 over 10 years. Aren't I back it out, it tells me $2,500 a month, something like that, that I need to save, $30,000 a year. So I do that. I then have a number in play. Now, let me give you some examples of things that happened. I started looking back, and again, this is part of me listening to the scare tactics that are going on all over everywhere. You know, the market's at an all-time high. Don't you think you should have some guarantees? Don't you have all this kind of stuff? And I'm not disagreeing with some of that, but what I kind of believe is scaring people is not the answer. Educating people is the answer. And the educational process, there's things you can do. So let me give you an example. If you start understanding the numbers, I went back and I said, well, what if you were one of those people that retired at the wrong time? You retired at the wrong time, and in addition to retiring at the wrong time, you had it all in the market. You had it in the S&P index, 500 index, and you had all your money in there, and instantaneously you had that 40% drop happen. What would have happened to you if you'd have been taking that 5% number? Well, I'm going to give you two ways that you do things. First thing is, when I tell people about withdrawal plans, one of the withdrawal plans I like to talk to people about is fluctuating withdrawal plans. So what does that mean? That means that what you do is at the end of the year, you set your next year's monthly income up based upon what the market did. So if the market does well, you get, say, 5% of the market that was up, so your check goes up. But if the market does poorly last year, say the prior year, you redo it and you tighten up. It would be very similar that if you were to go to, if you had a job and you have a good year, you get a bonus and you take part of that bonus and you use it. All right, you do something you want to do with it. So, but the next year, bonuses don't come in. You didn't do that good, so you just don't spend it. You spend less money. Or maybe you've got a bunch of overtime if you're working somewhere, and now the overtime went away, so what do? You just live on less. And so I tell people to do the same thing with retirement income. If they're fluctuating income is a great way to do it. If the market goes up, next year you get a bigger paycheck. If the market goes down, you get a lesser paycheck. And so let me give you an example, though. If you put $1 million, you had $1 million at the beginning of 2008, and I ran this. Now, this is what's called a hypothetical illustration of what things have done. We don't know in the future what things are going to do. We just can only kind of look to the past and say, well, maybe this gives us some indicator. And why do these indicators make a big difference? Well, to me, you know, I look at it like this. Over a long period of time, things tend to just kind of end up at the mean. You know, if you start a business, and that business, over a long period of time, you have good years and you have bad years, those kind of things. It's just the way it is. I mean, if you're out there on a diet, guess what? Only time you go on a diet is when you get fat. And then as soon as you get skinny, most of the time people let up a little bit, then they get a little, gain a little weight, then they go back and forth. Very seldom do you maintain the exact same weight all the time. And so what we do is we tell people, and I tell people this, why wouldn't we have fluctuating incomes? So let me give you an example. You put in $1 million in the S&P 500, which if you're at or near retirement, you shouldn't be more than likely. I would think that, you know, if I meet with people after looking at their situation, very seldom are they going to be fully invested in the market. But we've got to address, what are you going to do if the market went down 40%? What's going to happen? Well, if you pull out 5% on a fixed rate, that would be 5% would be $50,000 a year, every year. Since that period of time of January of 2008, you would have pulled out $570,000. The market at one time, right at the end of the year, you would have lost 40, you know, it would have been down 40%. Now, you didn't lose it unless you sold it, but the bottom line is it went down. And so after all of those withdrawals, the S&P 500 dividends reinvested ended up at $1,323,000. So you survived that period. You bought it at the wrong time. You started withdrawing at the wrong time. The math of losses, you're compounding the losses, pulling them out. What if we'd have just fluctuated the income, did that same thing? The difference is you'd have gotten the same amount of money, but guess what? $1,458,000 at the end of that time. It's Roy Matlock Jr. We will be right back. All right, we're back and continuing talking money. Roy Matlock Jr. here. And if you are a small business and you want a professional answer, maybe you're out and about running all the time, but you want a live answer. You know, my dad always told me that. He's like, I hate those voice machines. I hate those push buttons and stuff like that. Check out Answer Connect. Answer Connect, I've been using them for my business for many, many years. And professional all the way. Matter of fact, if you contact our information line, 866-651-4848. You get a taste of what they do. They do a great job for us. And so, but anyway, you can visit roymatlockjr.com, click the link Answer Connect and get yourself set up. Plans start as little as $99 a month. You can get 24-hour live answering. So think about that. It might be something good for you. So we're going to continue on and talk about creating the plan. You add up your income, you come up and you say, well, I've got this much Social Security, maybe I have some real estate, you know, that I think is I'm going to be keeping, whatever it may be, rental properties, wherever your income sources are. You know, one of the best income sources that I know is to own your own business and create something that way. But the bottom line is that you go create an income stream. And then whatever income stream you're missing in terms of the amount of money that you need, you turn around and you create a plan. And that plan is to be able to put money aside on a regular basis in order to make things happen. And so, and then at that point, we have our goal, we have our number. Our number is about 20 times the desired income is the amount of investment dollar that you would probably have to have in order to do that. Then once that happens, all right, we start putting our money aside into different things that will allow us to get, you know, the right, you know, safety measures involved along with the desired income that will keep us up with inflation. You know, we got taxation, we got a lot of different things. So when we get to retirement, we start moving into what is the net dollar I'm going to end up getting. And so we have some decisions to make. We have retirement plans that are at work. One of the things I would tell you right now, if you a lot of you that are listening right now, you got a 401k. And that 401k, there are options in there, everything from money market guaranteed accounts, probably government accounts, that kind of stuff, bond accounts, all the way over to aggressive growth funds and index funds and stuff like that that are fully invested. It is imperative, especially as you get near retirement. It's a different game. You don't want to start out in the hole the first you know, thing happens, we have that 40% drop, which it can happen. But we don't want to have, we don't want to be involved in that 40% drop. So what you need to do, if you haven't had someone look at it, you need to get somebody to help you and make sure that your 401k is correctly allocated. We do that kind of stuff. We will help you with that. If you have other 401ks that are sitting out there that are just kind of, you know, you left a job and you left this money there. And then I've seen people where they have three different ones, you know, and the biggest challenge when you have it like that is now you've got to be paying attention to three different accounts to see if they're asset allocated. What I tell people is you combine them into your own individual retirement account, then you asset allocate that in a way that you are, you know, at the right risk, tolerance to keep you from being up late at night worrying, but at the same time put you in a position where you get your money. So if you are interested in finding out more on those kind of things, call that information line. We have people that can help you, been around for years doing that. That's the 866-651-4848. So let's talk about moving into creating some withdrawal plans. I'm going to give you a couple schools of thought. You know, we meet with people all the time, and, you know, the idea is as you get more at or near retirement, there's a couple things that I've told people, and everybody's different, but, you know, your particular situation may be different, but this is something that I, you know, kind of look at. I said, well, if you're investing money and you're at or near retirement and you've got this 401k, then what I'm going to do is I'm going to make a decision to take the lump sum that I've got, and I'm going to put it in the mindset of preservation mode. I'm going to make sure I don't lose it. That's my goal. It's not so much to grow it. I want to grow it, but I don't want to put it in a position where it can take a big hit. And so inside of the investing spectrum, we have really three areas. We have cash, which would be something like a money market or something, a bank account, a CD or something like that, or no, another way of looking at it, no market risk. And so you've got that. Then you've got bonds. Bonds would be government bonds, corporate bonds, junk bonds, and you can buy funds that are in there, municipal bonds or tax-free bonds. And so what happens is you take that, and they do have market risk, interest rate risk is what they call that, and they have inflation risk, meaning that because the return is not great, in most cases, you know, the inflation could hurt you. But then also if interest rates rise, they can hurt you. And then we have stocks. So stocks, bonds, and cash. Stocks, we have all different types of stocks from small companies to large companies and stuff like that. And so as you are at or near retirement, you begin moving from the fully invested stock market investments, and you start moving it toward maybe some balanced accounts. Maybe you might have part of your money in a balanced fund. A balanced fund would be right in the middle, has some stocks and some bonds in it. And so what happens is we start moving our allocation. So we when we're young and getting started and we got a long time out there before we need the money, what are we going to do? We're going to be a little bit more aggressive, and because we look at it like, man, we got a long time before we're going to do it anyway, before we're going to need it. But when we get near retirement, we do that. Now, on the other hand, what I do is I also tell people that when they are investing money and they're still, they're at or near retirement, but they're investing new dollars, that might be an opportunity where you get a little bit more aggressive. And then that way, if the market goes down, you're able to buy some of the downside protection. And so when the market goes down, you're able to buy in. You've got your primary lump sum of money sitting in something that is a little bit more protected. And so anyway, let me give you some examples, though, so you're not living in fear. I think this is a good number that you would like to hear. Let's take a look at if you were to run into one of these markets that went the wrong way on you, and you were like, oh, man, what am I going to do? Let me give you some numbers that I think are pretty interesting, and it just continues to always say stay in the market. Listen to this. So if we go back and we take the last six markets that were bear markets, the last six bear markets, the next 5 years following those bear markets, September 74 was up 30. The five-year return the next year was 38%. The five-year return was 118%. the January 1980 bear market, the next 5 years was up 266%, 59% the first year. 1987, the one-year return after that, 23%, the five-year return, 122%. 1990, we had one up 34% the next year, 122% as well. And then this 2008 was up, one-year returns up 49%, March 2009 when it hit the market low, and was up a five-year return of 161%. So what happens is when you put your money in there, you need to realize that, you know, the markets do things. If you're at or near retirement, we want to not be all in there. But it's not the end of the world, guys. It's not, you know, we just have to be diversified. We got to have some discipline. Market returns since 1937, S&P 500, stock market returns, 10.2% average annual return. In getting that, you had 62 positive years out of 84. You had 22 negative years. When the market was down, it went down 12%. When the market went up, it averaged going up 19%. And so you just have to have the discipline to do things like that. And so what we're going to do then is we're going to move from worry to knowledge. And because now we're gonna take a look at how do we withdraw money? What do we do? We clearly want to asset allocate our money better. You want to take that 401k. If you've got a bunch of 401ks, get it in one place. Sit down with somebody, unless you're able to do it on your own, and get with someone you feel comfortable with, and then get it allocated. You're going to be probably more conservative in the way you do it. Balance funds a lot of times are 50-50 stock and bond. That's a lot of people that I work with. They will do something similar to that, maybe a little bit more than balance, maybe a little bit more on the stock side. But generally speaking, that's kind of where when we meet with people and we look at everything they're doing. Another way that retirement plans are done, people take and they put it into buckets. And I know one company that they have a bucket of 3 years of income. And so what they do is they take 3 years of income, put it in cash, and the rest of it's invested. And so when the market's going up, they're pulling off of the up market, pulling profits. When the market's going down, what they do is they immediately automatically start pulling from cash. So that's money that was guaranteed. It didn't lose money. And that gives the market type investment time to recover, so you're not just selling it as it goes down. And so what happens is there's all these different ways of doing it. You can add in the annuity section. We'll talk a little bit more about annuities and all the different ones. But the annuities do give you some lifetime income guarantees. Generally speaking, the negative on the annuities is that they don't give you increasing income. And so what we do is we put together a portfolio. We start developing a plan of action to where when you someone asks you what you're doing, here's the critical key. You can tell them. You know what to tell them. You know what you're doing. You meet with people enough that you know where you're at. You know, one of the things I see, I see this all the time. People, man, we spend more time figuring out, you know, where we're going to go eat lunch than we do with our money. And so this is what this show is about, help you to do that. So 866-651-4848 if you need downloads, information. My name is Roy Matlock. I will be right back. Finishing up another show today, the last segment, we're going to get into developing a portfolio of where you put your money. I'm going to give you more than anything all of the information on what they are. I think that's the biggest thing. And then you get a better idea of where you would want to go. And real quick, if you have ever considered getting involved in a business with a great career option. I did this 35 years ago, got in the investment business, helping people with their money. If you like doing stuff like helping people, I would encourage you to call that information line, that 866-651-4848, and let them know, because we are, you know, bringing on people right now, teaching them, you know, at a young age. You know, my son's 22 years old, as an example, getting his licenses in order to help people with money. What my company does is we provide all the educational materials, as you can see, are here by you know, the show that I put out. You know, the whole idea is to get you educated. I believe a knowledgeable person on money is it would become a great client of ours, because I would rather talk to people about things that really matter, not what happened yesterday in the stock market. And so what I want to do is talk to them about a long-term plan and how it works. And so what we do at my business is we do two things. We educate, and then we also have the all the products that would be there for you to get your plan in place, all the way from the insurance side to all the different investments and things like that. And so anyway, you can go to roymatlackjr.com. And, you know, I would also encourage you to download our budget sheet. We've got a great budget worksheet on there. We also have a book called How Money Works. And if you want to educate your kids, you can do the same thing. It's called How Money Works for Kids, Teenagers, stuff like that. You know, very seldom. I was reading an article Warren Buffett put out, and he was talking about, you know, teaching kids about money. And it says that in many cases, the best time to teach your kids is when they're like 5 years old. You teach them about saving money. You teach them the value of money and stuff like that, because they did a lot of study. He's got a big foundation he put together, number one guy that's ever been in investing. And it was interesting how people picked up their habits. Kids picked up their habits prior to 8 years old as it related to money, as it related to going in and spending money, buying things on sale, all the kind of things like that. When one of my sons was working at Sonic, and we ended up taking some of that Sonic money, and he put it in when he was 15, maybe 15 years old, and I showed him how to invest that money, and he has left that money alone now. And so he's seen the power of that. So that's what you do. You teach your kids. But anyway, let's develop a portfolio. So what we're going to do to begin with is we can say, well, we can buy guaranteed investments, or we can take market risk. So what falls in guaranteed investments? Well, the first one, and first and foremost, you would think is a bank account, a certificate of deposit. You know, many times we call them certificates of depreciation. And the reason we call them that is that they're taxed. So if you're getting 3%, you get taxed 30%, you're down to 2%. And then if inflation's more than 2%, even though it's guaranteed, it may be a guaranteed loss against inflation. But the reason people put it in the bank is because of safety. That's what it is. My opinion of the bank should be for your emergency fund, a little bit of you know, future purchase money, that kind of thing. But the bank should be a holding pattern for your money. So that's the first thing. So you got guaranteed investments. You've got some other investments that have some guarantees to them. But the difference is that they're guaranteed by different entities. So let me give you an example. If you go buy annuities, there's different types of annuities. One of the annuities that is very popular is called a fixed indexed annuity. And what that is it's got a tie-in to market performance. So for instance, in many of them, if the stock market, S&P 500, whatever your index you're looking at, is up that year, they'll credit 6% or 3%, whatever it is. If it's down, you get zero. So they give you guaranteed principal and a percentage of the upside. Those things carry with them guarantees of principal by the insurance company. So what does that mean? That means that if the insurance company were to go under, well, then you might have some problems. So you want to make sure and diversify, and also make sure that you have, not all of your money sitting there, but you understand that what you're getting into. Why do you put it in a fixed index annuity over the bank? The reason is that they pay a higher rate, generally speaking. So that's what you're looking at. So as we go up in values or in returns, we take on more risk. The insurance company's not as strong as, say, the FDIC. Now, another thing an indexed annuity has is income guarantees. So what they do is they give you the ability to have lifetime income. Now, this is not annuitizing your money. This is lifetime income. So the way it works is you have your, let's say you put $100,000 in, and they say, we guarantee you 6% for life. And so what happens is that 6% gets pulled out. They credit interest against it. Depending on what the market does, all that kind of stuff, it may go up a little bit, may go down a little bit. But the bottom line is, they said, we'll give you 6% for the rest of your life or 5% for the rest of your life. And then what happens is they're pulling against your account value. Now, if you happen to outlive the money, they will give you a lifetime income guarantee. What that means is that the account will continue to pay even though you went through all the money. Now, if you're getting 5%, lifetime income guarantee, and if you're pulling out 5% and the market was zero during that time, the first 20 years, you're pulling out your own money before the insurance company gets at risk. So what happens on a fixed income annuity or an indexed annuity, people buy these because they're concerned they're going to outlive their money. So let's say you live for 40 years. All right, and you take it out, and the insurance company ran out of money 25 years into it. Well, the insurance company will continue to pay you that. That's called a fixed indexed annuity. How do we look at that? Number one, it's if you don't use it, it's tax deferred until you use it. It's treated like an IRA, 59 and a half. You get penalized if you pull out before then. When you start pulling on it, you can get lifetime income guarantees. They have guarantee of principal, and you get some of the upside. That's an indexed annuity. We have a new product called a structured product. Structured product is not for income. How do these things work? What they'll do is the insurance company says, look, what we'll do is we'll give you some downside protection and you get the upside protection. So let me give you an example. There's a product right now that I looked at. I've seen all of them. I've seen a bunch of them that will give you a 20% downside guarantee over a 6-year period. So what that means is you take your money, you put $100,000 in, and they said the S&P 500 has never lost 20% in a 6-year period. But let's just say it does. What's going to happen is they're going to guarantee you the first 20% of losses. They're going to replace your money. So let's say you put in 100 grand, S&P was worth 80 at the end of 6 years. They will make up the 20%. So that is your downside protection. If it loses 30%, then you're going to be down $10,000, or your 100 would be worth 70. So you say, well, I like to have a little income, guarantee or some type of protection. So then what they do, they say, and we'll give you 125% in this example of the upside. So let's say the market goes up 150% during that time. So you put in 100 grand and now you've made 150% is 250 grand. Well, you don't get that because their max out on the top end is 125%. But let's say it went up 125%, your 100 would grow to that. You know, on average, I think they gave me numbers that it's about 65%. So $100,000 would grow to $165,000. You get all the upside. But if it had a downside, you'd have 20%. And those are 20% protection. Those are tax deferred. That's a benefit. You never have to pull the money out until you need it. All right. Yeah, but it's not an income product. They're called structured annuities. They're coming out. We're seeing them with all the different insurance companies. And all they're saying is, look, we're going to give you a little bit of downside protection, 20%. We're going to give you most of the upside unless we have a ridiculously high market. So that is a structured product. We go into the next one, and that is a variable annuity. So what's the difference? We had a fixed indexed annuity. They give guarantee of principal and a lifetime income guarantee. Then we have the structured annuity, gives you some protection, 20% downside. Some of them go as many as 30% downside and less upside, tax deferred, same kind of deal. Or we go to a variable annuity. What's a variable annuity do? Well, there's no guarantees on losses, on market losses. If the market drops 30%, guess what? It's down 30%. But you get lifetime income guarantees. And so with that being said, sounds like I'm getting ready to get bumped right out of here. We're running out of time. If you need more information, 866-651-4848, and you can visit roymatlockjr.com. Hit the downloads and be sure and sign up for a podcast June the 2nd. We'll talk to you later.